Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Esther, chapter 5. Esther, chapter 5. And for our text, I want to read from verse 9 through verse number 14. And I want to preach a message tonight on the pride of Haman. It says here in verse 9, "Then went Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself, and when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zereth his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches, and the multitude of his children, and all the things wherein the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself. And tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zereth, this his wife, and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made." Skipping over chapter and a half, I want to also read verse 10 of chapter 7, where it says, "So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai." Let's pray. Lord, bless as we look at our subject tonight. Lord, I believe that every word of Scripture has been given to us by Thee, and I believe that all of the Scriptures are profitable for us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn what you have for us here in this chapter and in this book of the Bible tonight. Lord, help us to be on guard against our old flesh and how it motivates us to do that which is contrary to your will and your word. And help us to instead yield ourselves, not just day by day, but moment by moment, to the Spirit's leading, that we would not fulfill the desires of the flesh. So, Lord, bless tonight in the message. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction." And here is a real life example of that scriptural principle. We see in verse 10 of chapter 7 that Haman is destroyed. He is, and we've really not come to chapter 7 yet in our study of the book of Esther, but most of us are familiar with the happenings of the book and understand the end of Haman. And we don't really see and haven't seen yet up to this point all the circumstances that lead to verse number 10. But what we find in the end is Haman is destroyed. And he's destroyed in a very unique way, don't you think? He's actually hanged on gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. But I say that Haman is a real-life example of Proverbs 16:18 because it was his pride that ultimately led him to his destruction. And we ought not to be surprised by that. That's what the Bible teaches. And it's not just true in the life of Old Testament figures and Old Testament examples, but it's also true in our own lives that if pride exists in our lives, it will ultimately lead to our demise, our destruction, or our downgrading, if you want to say it, to God abasing us. And you know, if we're saved and we're a child of God, God will humble us if we're full of pride. He will. It's necessary that he humble us in preparing us for our glorious future. Because we can't rightly enjoy heaven until we've first been humbled to the degree that God desires to humble us. And so I want to look at some of the events surrounding Haman's life and look and see how it was pride that motivated his attitudes and his actions. And I think as we see Haman being motivated by pride, we can also probably find parallels in our own lives where our attitudes and our actions are motivated by the very same thing, that is pride. You know, on more than one occasion, I've been in discussions with new evangelical Christians or Christians that you might call Laodicean Christians, lukewarm Christians, and they, in passing, reference the pride that exists in fundamentalist circles. Now, I don't know that they're always accurate in their description of fundamentalism. Sometimes they think that standing for what is right, you know, is motivated by pride. And that's what some people thought of David, you know, when he took a stand for God and, you know, couldn't understand why someone wasn't doing something about Goliath. His brothers questioned his motives, and they were wrong. David said, is there not a cause? And there absolutely was a cause, and it was a time to stand up for what is right. But it is true, I believe, that within fundamentalism, there is a problem of pride. But I don't believe that fundamentalism has a monopoly on pride. It exists in every area of life. It exists in business circles. It exists in marriages. It exists in siblings. Pride is a problem for the human race. It's a problem for you and I. I've also heard multiple times when a preacher was questioned and pressured about what is man's chief sin. And nearly every time the preacher has answered, pride. And so it would do us well to understand what pride is, how it motivates us, and in the end, how it brings destruction to our lives, if not remedied. So notice back in chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2 there, it says, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. You know, you see here that many within the kingdom bowed down and reverenced Haman. And this was not something that he tried to, I'm missing the word here, but he didn't hinder people from reverencing him. He welcomed it. And I would have you to ask the question, why is it that Haman so readily welcomed the reverencing of others? And it was because of pride. You know, in the even during the times of Jesus Christ, as his disciples went from place to place ministering to people, there were times when people wanted to reverence them. There were times when people wanted to bow down before angels. But you know, in each of those instances, what the angels or what the disciples did was to pick people up off of the ground and say, don't reverence me, don't worship me. There's only one that is worthy of our worship. There's only one that's worthy of our reverence, and that's God Almighty. And Haman didn't do that. And I submit to you it was because of the pride that existed in his heart. And you know, when we want people to reverence us, when we want people to look up to us, when we want people to promote us, 9 times out of 10, it's motivated by pride. You know, I have turned to Luke chapter 14 so many times to illustrate what humility and pride are. Some of you may already have that committed to memory. But Jesus actually gives two different parables in Luke chapter 14, and the two different parables highlight for us the two different aspects of humility. And kind of flipping those around, we see two different elements for pride as well. But in Luke 14, from verses 7 through 11, it says, "And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, When thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and come in and say to thee, Give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher, then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sat at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Here, this first aspect of humility is abasing self. And in this particular account, when the individual is seeking out the best rooms and the chief seats, was he abasing himself? He was in essence saying, I'm worthy of the best places. That should be my seat. And what the parable illustrates is, this individual thinks too highly of himself, and when the host comes around and sees that one of his supreme guests is sitting in a room or a seat too low, he has to have somebody else get up so they can take this place, and it's very likely to be that individual who promoted himself. And so in the end, he's going to be abased. Humility abases self. Pride does this just the opposite. Pride exalts self. As it says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it puffs oneself up. It vaunteth itself. That's what pride does. That's not what charity does. Then in verses 12 through 14, it talks about the second aspect of humility when it says, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brother, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Here it's not focused on self, but it's focused on others. And what it says is that humility exalts others. In particularly, exalts those who cannot repay you. It exalts, again, this God says to the one who's inviting guests to his dinner, don't invite your friends, nor your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors. But he says, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, those that can give you nothing in return. In other words, exalt others. So humility speaks of abasing self and exalting others, but pride is just the opposite. Pride exalts self and abases others. And why is it that Haman welcomed the reverencing of others? Because he thought too highly of himself. No doubt, most of us would have liked the type of treatment that Haman was getting. But if we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, there should have been something, or there should be something that's telling us, hey, don't accept the praise and the admiration and the worship and the reverencing of these people. There's only one that's worthy of our worship and praise, and it's God. Now don't misunderstand me. I recognize we all like to be praised and appreciated. And I think to some degree we should show our appreciation for one another. But we do need to be careful, because it can lend itself to pride. Notice then in verse number 5 of Esther chapter 3. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. Again, I ask the question, why was Haman angry? What precipitated his anger? What was the motive behind it? Why get so angry that just one man wasn't bowing down to you? Everybody else was. Why angry at the one? Why was it because of pride? It was his pride that caused him to be angry over Mordecai's actions. Because if he was humble, he would have recognized he didn't deserve the worship and reverence of everyone else, let alone Mordecai. But a man that's full of pride cannot stand it if there's just one who refuses to recognize their greatness. But you see, there really is nothing great about any of us, right? I mean, if we want to compare ourselves to one another, I guess we could probably find some glowing characteristics. But when you compare yourself to God, we have nothing to glory in. And the Bible says the only thing that we should glory in is the Lord. Haman's pride caused him to desire the reverence of men. Haman's pride caused him to be angry over Mordecai's actions. Haman's pride also caused him to plot the extinction of the Jews. In verse 6, and he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Again, how would Haman have handled this circumstance if he possessed humility? He certainly wouldn't have sought to destroy or exterminate an entire people just because they refused in principle to bow down before him. But it was pride that motivated Haman to want to exterminate all the Jews. You know, as Christians, we recognize that the Scriptures are true. We believe they're true and they're right. But you know, there's a lot of people who embrace a worldview much different than ours. And they too think they're right. And in many respects, if they had their way, I believe they would exterminate those who disagree with them. Now, they can't come out and blatantly, you know, throw us all in concentration camps and have us killed. But since they can't do that blatantly, they would like to do it, you know, in a much gentler way. Silence us publicly. Humiliate us, so that we never speak of what we believe is the truth. Of course, they don't like it because it contradicts what they say and teach. But it's pride that causes them to do that. And sometimes it's the same degree of pride that causes us to be contentious with other people. I mean, and I'm talking about in matters of opinion and preference rather than dogma, truth, and conviction. I mean, if we have a certain preference, you know, we try to convince other people that our preference is the way to go. If they disagree, they're just wrong. Instead of humility, understanding that there's differences of opinions and there's differences of preference. I'm trying to think of specific examples, and I hate to give trivial ones, but, you know, some people think Ford's better, and some people think Chevy's better. And I don't know, truth be told, one may be more true than the other, but I certainly don't know which is true. I've always said if you buy a brand new vehicle off the lot, it probably doesn't matter if it's Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Nissan, Toyota. They probably all run really good if they're brand new. It's just a matter of preference. But if we have to get everybody to agree with us because our opinion is so much more superior to theirs, then we've got too much pride in our hearts. It was pride that caused Haman to build the gallows. We read in our text there, Haman began being happy. You know, things were going so well for him. And yet as he exited the gate, there was Mordecai who refused to bow down to him, and his demeanor completely changed. And as he gets home, he tells his wife and his friends, God's given me all these things. He doesn't say God, but I have all these things. Yet I can't be happy because Mordecai refuses to bow down to me. That's pretty sad, isn't it? That he couldn't be happy unless everybody worshiped him. You know, when you discover that there are certain people who don't appreciate you, who you are, and you think to yourself, well, how dare them? Everybody else loves me. There must be some kind of problem with him. That's pride. I mean, you could be pretty confident. Not everybody's going to love you. I mean, there's going to be people who dislike you for one reason or another. But don't let it bother you. Especially if it's not due to any fault of your own. I always say about Tammy that if someone can't get along with Tammy, there's something wrong with them. Because she can get along with anybody. And I've known a couple of people to say bad things about her, and I'm like, boy, they have a problem. And if that's true of her, it's going to be true of you too. But again, just ask, again, as I always say, ask yourself all the time, what is motivating my behavior? What is motivating my attitude? What is motivating my feelings? Because if you're upset at the fact that somebody don't appreciate some virtue of yours, that's probably because of pride. Because that's what motivated Haman. And ultimately, it was Haman's pride that resulted in his death. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. Pride caused him to desire men to reverence him. Pride caused him to be angry over Mordecai's actions. Pride caused him to plot the extinction of the Jews, caused him to build a gallows to have Mordecai hang thereon. But it was pride that ultimately led to his destruction. Pride goeth before destruction. You know, the book of Proverbs, maybe in that same verse, also says, and before honor is humility. I guess if anybody was humble in this situation, it was Mordecai. After all, he's the one that put on sackcloth and sat in ashes and mourned over the passing of this law. But in a short matter of time, he's the one that would be exalted. Now, I know things don't always work this way in our culture. In some arenas, confidence, which can be the same thing as pride, is exalted and is thought highly of. And many times, especially in the corporate world, those who have confidence, those who have a certain degree of pride about themselves are exalted, but their exaltation is only going to be temporary. Because pride does always lead to destruction. pride. It's one of our chief enemies. And it comes from within. I have a great deal of more in my notes, but I actually think I'm going to shelve some of it and use it in the message next week as we look further into Haman and his pride and what might have led to him possessing this attitude of exalting self and abasing others. But again, just spend some time examining your own life. I mean, pride is one of those things that's very easy to see in others, but sometimes it's very difficult to see in ourselves. But probably the more we see it in others and the more we see people who are motivated by pride, the more likely it is we understand what it looks like in our own lives. And we need to be careful. We need to be careful because pride leads to destruction. And we need to exalt humility because it is what will honor us. And what does it mean to be humble? Abase yourself and exalt others. Live your life in the service of others. After all, that's what Jesus Christ did. He abased himself when he left heaven and came to this earth veiled in human flesh. He abased himself. He left heaven where he was worshipped and adored and magnified. And he came to a place where people despised, spit on, and crucified him. He abased himself, and he exalted others. He did all of that for you and I, that we could be saved. And because he humbled himself to such a degree, the book of Philippians says, "Therefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord." You see, he humbled himself to a greater degree than any man ever has. Likewise, he was exalted in a degree that no one else has ever been. Ultimately, you want to be promoted by God? You want to be exalted by Him? You're going to have to first humble yourself. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You again for this example and how Haman epitomizes pride and one's life that is filled with pride. And God, I pray that we've learned from this lesson and that we would yield to the Spirit, that He could produce in us humility rather than pride. And Lord, help us to spend some time today and maybe even this week examining our own lives and to see where pride might exist, and might we allow the Spirit of God to mortify the deeds of the flesh, including pride, that we could be honored and promoted by Thee. So bless in the message, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to 387, Have Thine Own Way. 387.